You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
4 seconds left. Tampa Bay Lightning have won the Stanley Cup! Lightning strikes twice! The Tampa Bay Lightning win their second straight Stanley Cup!
Hello everybody and welcome back to RBLR Lightning, and today it's a solo show. It's just me with you guys here today. So I hope you guys do enjoy the company with me and we get to hang out a little bit, talk some Lightning hockey. It's been a little bit since we have been on the podcast last, so there is a lot to talk about. We've got the NHL schedule release to take a look at, some other news that came down recently, and of course, all of the free agent moves that happened. I remember on the last podcast, we talked a lot about what we were hoping to see the Lightning do. They've made their moves. We're going to break that all down today. Super excited to have you guys with us here. Don't forget, if you're with us live, make sure you drop your comments down below so you can get in the live chat, join the conversation here. I'm going to need your guys' help for this episode since it's just me and I don't want to be talking the entire time. So I'd love to hear what you guys have to say. If you're not with us live and you do want to join the conversation in the future, make sure that you do like and subscribe right here on YouTube. Follow us on social media at RBR Lightning and at RBLR Sports as well. So check out the other awesome podcasts, ring the bell for notifications, all that good fun stuff. Make sure you do that so you can join us live when we do have these shows. But with that said, let's jump right into it. And the first thing that we do need to talk about here is the Lightning announced they have extended their partnership with the Syracuse Crunch for their AHL affiliation, which, and this isn't major groundbreaking news. The Lightning have been with the Syracuse Crunch for a very, very long time, but we've seen things can get messy when affiliations break a little bit. If you remember a couple of years ago, the Lightning actually had to partner up with the Florida Panthers for a while, and those teams combined with the Syracuse Crunch while there was a change there. And it didn't make a huge impact on anybody. You know, they're able to make it work, but it's always nice to have that same affiliate. This, you know, those guys know how the system runs. You have that long-standing relationship. Everything's just a little bit easier. So good to see the Lightning were able to extend that affiliation with the Syracuse Crunch up in New York, obviously, and they get to keep on doing that. So that is good news for the Lightning. No worries there in the AHL. Let me know in the comments down below what you guys think. I don't know if anybody's ever been to a Syracuse game. The one thing I keep saying, I would love to see the AHL be more available to people to watch. I know you can get an AHL subscription to watch the games, but truth be told, I don't know if I'm paying that much for AHL hockey. I love hockey, but I just wish the games were, even there's like one or two games you could just watch on national TV or whatever it may be. Or even if like you could just pay for, because that's the other thing, you can't pay for one team, you pay for the whole thing. Which, by the way, if that was a package deal for the NHL, I'm all over that. But we're not talking about the NHL, we're talking about the AHL. I wish you could just watch like Syracuse Crunch games. Let me just watch those games, because that's, in truth be told, all I really care about. I want to know how the Lightning guys are doing. But it's a little difficult to be able to watch your team, AHL's affiliate. So maybe one day they will let us be able to get more access to that. And one day I'll have to go up there and actually check out a Syracuse Crunch game. I've never been up there before. I would love to go see that one day for sure. All right, so there is the news. Oh, we also should mention, too, as well, former Bolt Pierre-Edouard Belmar was hired as a player development specialist by the Tampa Bay Lightning. So, you know, I know Belmar was huge with the Lightning organization when he was here. You know, he wasn't like a crazy big scoring guy or anything like that, but he was one of those, I don't know if he called him, well, you might call him a fan favorite. Maybe he was liked by a lot of people. I would say a pretty decent amount, but he was definitely an impact player, a locker room guy, if you will. And so nice to have him back in the organization, working with the team. You know, that's one thing that I don't think a lot of people talk about. You know, we've always said the Lightning are a top tier organization, and we're very lucky to be fans of this team. But I'll tell you what, one thing that I do know for sure is that when your players are constantly coming back to work with your organization, that shows you're doing something right. I mean, how many players, Dave Andertruck, who does a lot of the broadcast stuff, Belmare, who's now with the player development specialist, Pat Maroon, who also does the broadcast. So many guys come back to work for this team and have involvement, even when they have events and bring these guys back. You know, Vinny and Marty and a lot of the Stanley Cup guys constantly do come back and work with this organization. So that is something that says a lot about this team and the culture that they have built. And it's really good to see that that has continued. And you're always excited to have those type of locker room guys in your organization because you know you're going to continue to be able to build that great organization and culture that you've built for so many years. So congratulations to him. Welcome back to the Tampa Bay area. Very excited to see what he's able to do with the Lightning. All right, let's talk perhaps the biggest thing that came out of the news in this news cycle that we have right now. Well, maybe not the biggest thing, but the schedule. The schedule is here. We have our dates. We can mark our calendars for the 2026 to 2027 season. I cannot wait. I'm super excited. I'm a little disappointed. We said on the last show that, you know, this was some of the games are starting in September. I think September 29th is the first games that we're seeing. I know ESPN and TNT released their opening night games. Some of them a little weird, by the way. We'll get into that later. But the Lightning did not get a game on September 30th, my birthday. So I'm a little disappointed about that selfishly. But we do have the schedule here for the Lightning. And funny enough, the Lightning do not start in September. So their first game is going to be on October 1st, where the Lightning are going to play the New York Rangers. And that game at 7 p.m. Eastern down in Madison Square Garden. By the way the Lightning announced this, you know, I know the NFL is much bigger when it comes to the schedule releases and all their great videos. They do such a good job with that. The NHL does it, but it's not nearly as big as it is in like the NFL. But the Lightning did Andre Vasilevsky reading the entire schedule, which was kind of funny because Vasilevsky basically found out the whole schedule as he was doing this in his very thick Russian accent. So if you haven't checked that out, they actually, Lightning released it as a full audiobook, which I do think is pretty fun. I mean, they legit released an audiobook that you can listen to on Spotify for the entire schedule. Crazy. And also the Lightning social media team, by the way, we found this out a couple of days ago. They won, I think, the social media team of the year. So congratulations to them on winning that award. That's a huge deal. And there's a lot of good social media accounts out there in the NHL. And so to be able to win something like that is quite the accomplishment. So congratulations to them. But back to the schedule. So Lightning opening the season here against the New York Rangers to open their season. You know, Lightning Rangers, that's always a fun one. The Bolts and the Rangers have that history with them for a long time now, even though the Lightning have kind of dominated it a little bit. The Rangers just haven't been that great as of recent years. So, but always in Madison Square Garden, that's a big game. It's a big market and always a fun one for sure. And then the Lightning are going to open their season against the Washington Capitals on October 3rd. That's a Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern. And this is a big game for one reason. That's because of the free agent the Lightning signed, which we're going to get into free agency a little more later in the show. But of course, the Lightning brought in John Carlson, signed him to a big contract, and he is going to get to play his former team in the home opener for the Bolts. I actually don't know if he played against Washington while he was with the Ducks. Someone's going to have to let me know in the comments if he did or not, but I'm not sure if this is his first game against his former team or not. But either way, still to play your former team in the opener, he was not with the Ducks for very long. So still a little bit of a big deal there even if he has seen them one other time. So that'll be a fun game. Always, two pretty big markets for the Lightning right off the rip, whether the Rangers and then the Capitals, of course, with Alex Ovechkin. We don't know what his storyline is here. I know there were rumors of him maybe not coming back this year. I never thought that was going to be a thing. I expected him to be back. I know he said he's pushing for, what was it, 1,000 goals or something ridiculous like that, but who knows. But anyway, two fun games to start the season for the Bulls. And I'm not going to go through every single game, obviously. We'll try to pull out some of the highlights. Again, let me know in the comments down below, what are some of the things in the schedule that you like, that you don't like, that you're excited for? Love to hear what you guys have to say on this. I did find this, by the way, shout out to Bolts Breakdown, who broke down all of the Lightning schedule and has a lot of these stats picked up. I know he's done a couple of things for the Bolt Report every once in a while. Be sure to go check him out. He does some awesome stuff as well. So here is the breakdown for games by month. It's actually pretty well balanced, at least a number of games per month. Lightning play 13 games in October, 6 home, 7 road. They'll play 13 in November, 8 home, 5 road games. December, 15 games, 7 home, 8 road. January, 12 games, 5 home, 7 road. February, 11 games. There's 7 home, 4 on the road. So a bit of a bigger stretch at home there. In February, March, 14 games, 6 home, 8 road. So a little bit heavier on the road side in March. And then April, 6 games, 3 home, 3 road. That's pretty good when it comes to the home away side of balance. That's actually pretty nice to see. So you do like that, that the NHL somewhat balanced the schedule a little bit. You do have a decent amount of back-to-back games, though. We've seen this a lot over the last couple of years. The back-to-backs are pretty hefty. Let me see, just by quickly looking here. 13. There are 13 back-to-back games for the Lightning this year. Back-to-backs, they're just a part of the NHL at this point. It's kind of what you expect. So, it is what it is. And it's the back-to-back games that get on your nerves are the ones where there's like a 3-day break after and you're just thinking, what are we doing here, guys? We could have easily had another game here. But quick glance, I didn't see anything that was too ridiculous when it comes to the back-to-backs. Most of them are both, they're back-to-back road or back-to-back home games. I didn't see any home away back-to-backs. I could be wrong on that as I'm trying to more closely look. Oh, no, I am wrong as I find one. Lightning are going to play the Penguins in December at home, and then they travel up to St. Louis. Those are the kind of things that aren't great, considering you have to play a game at home and then travel, pack everything up, and get on the road and get into St. Louis. That's not easy to do. That's a tough game for the Bolts. That's one to keep your eye on. And even some of these, too, like Toronto to Detroit back-to-back isn't too bad. Is that the only home road? I think it might be. Most of the other ones I see are double roads or double home games. But nothing too bad this year. You do have that week off in February. I believe we're getting the All-Star game this year, if I'm not mistaken. Correct me in the comments if I'm wrong here. But no huge gaps in the schedule. There's a couple of 3-day breaks in there. You do have late October. There's 4 days off, I believe it is. Yes, 4 days off, which is a little annoying right at the start of the season. They're going to take hockey away from us again. How dare you? But it's not bad. It's not bad. All things considered, I've seen worse schedules before. The NHL sometimes it can be very, very frustrating when it comes to their schedule making. But it's I don't mind it much this year. Holiday matchups, the Lightning play on Halloween on October 31st. They're going to play the Nashville Predators on that game on the road. New Year's Eve, they will play the Montreal Canadiens at home. Actually, that's a game the Lightning have not usually right after New Year's. They're usually on the road during New Year's. Well, let's take a look here. So December 31st, they are at home. But then where are they right after that? You know who they usually play in those games is the Ducks. They're always in Anaheim, I feel like, right before New Year's or right after New Year's. No, they're home. They're home. They're playing the Montreal Canadiens on the 31st, and then they are playing the Buffalo Sabres on the 2nd. So Lightning get to be home for New Year's. So that is nice. Let's see. Anything else we got here? St. Patrick's Day. The Lightning are playing on the road against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Do have a couple of reunion matchups this year. Of course, you're going to have a couple of new ones with some of our free agent signings. Chicago 5th for the Blackhawks. I need to learn how to say his name. And again, we're going to get to this more when we start talking about free agency in just a moment here. But Ila Mikheyev, I believe is what it is. December 19th at Toronto. Nick Paul, Darren Radish, and Dennis Hildmead, the new goaltender that we picked up in that trade with Nick Paul. And then February 18th versus the Anaheim Ducks. Technically, that's a reunion for John Carlson, but he was there for such a short time. And Jeffrey Veal as well. And then February 20th, Toronto Maple Leafs again. This time, Darren Radish and Nick Paul coming back home. I'm sure there will be very big tributes for both of those guys when they return. That's going to be a little weird playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. We got two guys that are going to be former Lightning players from Toronto here. So that's a little look at the schedule this year for the Bolts. I think their longest home stretch is in February, where they're going to play 6 games in a row. You have a couple of days off in between some of those games, but a 6-game home stretch in February, so that'll be exciting. The longest road trip, let's see if I can find that out real quick. The Lightning don't have any considerably long road trips. They've got a 4-game one in November. Let's see, does anything else beat that? They've got a 4-game one in January, and they got a 4-game one in March. And two four-game ones in March, but it's broken up. So that's kind of your longest road trip, where they got 4 in March to if you go back to February. So they're going to have a 6-game road trip. 6-game road trip. Dallas, Carolina, L.A., Anaheim, San Jose. That's a back-to-back. And then Chicago. Oh, you know what? That is a brutal, brutal road trip here. Because you're going to have 6 games on the road, and 3 of them are on the West Coast. And they're those 10 p.m. dreaded starts, especially for us fans back here on the East Coast, where you have to stay up till 1 a.m. At least they're not 10:30. Those are the absolute worst games. Do we have any 10:30 games this year? Now that I think about it, 10 p.m. isn't the worst per when they're 9 p.m. We do. We have a 10:30 game against Vegas on October 20th. Ah, jeez. Those are not fun. As someone who covers the games as fans who stay up to watch every single game, those are not fun, those 10:30 games. So, but again, all things considered, it's not too bad of a schedule. We'd love to hear your comments down below. Let us know what you think of the Tampa Bay Lightning schedule this year. What games are you excited for? What do you not like? What do you do like? Love to hear your thoughts as always. All right, let's get into the big thing here. Let's talk about the NHL free agency frenzy. And the Lightning did make a couple of moves. I know we were all very hopeful on some of the potential fronts. Some things didn't pan out, like the Werenski situation, which, boy, was that a weird one. Zach Werenski, who said he wanted out and he was going somewhere else. He rejected a trade from Dallas. He was kind of saying Tampa's where he wanted to go. And now he's basically backpedaled and saying, no, I want to stay with Columbus. That whole thing is really weird. I don't understand it. How you, as a player, unless like Columbus came back and told him, like, oh, we're going to give you a lot of money. I don't know. That whole thing is super weird, but we're not getting Zach Werenski, at least as of now. So instead, the Lightning did go get John Carlson, which that is hilarious in itself, because remember, the Hurricanes traded for the rights for John Carlson. They did not sign him, and then they went to free agency, and the Lightning took him away. So Carolina wasted a little bit there trying to sign John Carlson. I don't know what happened. It sounded like he really just kind of wanted to play for Tampa, did not want to go to Carolina. So that's always nice when a player wants to come to your organization, clearly. So John Carlson signs with the Lightning. He signed a pretty darn big contract. It's only 2 years, so it's not a long one. which is a good thing. Now, JBB and all these contracts we're going to talk about here, he handed out no move clauses and no trade clauses because JBB likes to hand those things out like candy, sort of the Florida Panthers. There's a couple of GMs that like to do it, but John Carlson coming to Tampa, 2 years, $8.5 million is the average annual salary. And you know what? 8.5 in 2 years for a guy like John Carlson, who was one of the best defenders on that Washington team for a long time. I know he's a lot older, but I don't hate that at all. It's under the 9.5 limit that we've had at everybody else at. We'll get to Kucherov in a little bit too, by the way. And, you know, he's basically the replacement for Darren Radish. He's going to be on that power play. He commanded that power, quarterbacked that power play in Washington for a long, long time. So he knows what to do in those situations. And I think in the right situation, Carlson working with guys like Nikita Kucherov on the power play can be very, very good. And I think he could have a really good year. So I'm excited to see what John Carlson's able to do. As for his straight defense, you know, that I'm not entirely too sure how it's going to be, especially with him being so much older than he once was. But he's a very good player, obviously. He's one of the top NHL free agents this year. You look at what he did last year. He had 4 goals, 10 assists, 14 points. It was a minus 2 with the Ducks. He was a plus 11 in 55 games with 36 goals and 46 points. So the guy can score. He's had a lot of plus seasons over his career, and again, a lot of them coming with Washington, where he was very, very good. So I think this is a great pickup for the Bolts, especially considering if you weren't going to get Zach Werenski, you go out and get John Carlson. You have to trade anything. Just had to sign him to a contract. And, yeah, I have no problems with this signing. I'm very excited for it. Just to see what he can do here with the Lightning, I think he's going to fit in very nicely. I'll be curious to see how the power play is going to work out here, because you have, of course, Victor Hedman, who is normally the quarterback of the power play for power play one. He had his mental health issues and injuries that he dealt with, and Radish took over that spot and, as we all know, had his breakout season. And then you have Carlson, who probably can be the quarterback on that power play one. If I had to guess, I wouldn't be surprised to see Carlson on power play one and Hedman on power play two. At the very least, you're going to get some diversity. I know one problem for the Lightning is it felt like for many years now that the power play one has been the end all or be all. Power play two never really did much. But with Hedman and Carlson on either power play one or power play two, however you play it out, I'm sure Cooper's going to test a lot of different lines out. We're going to see what works. You know, that is something that could work out. And help diversify things for the Lightning a little bit. But wouldn't be surprised to see Hedman on there. Wouldn't be surprised to see Carlson, just because he's a little bit, you know, Hedman's been getting a lot older now. So is Carlson too. But I kind of think it'll be Carlson on power play one. Again, let us know what you think down in the comments below. Love to hear what you guys have to say, as always. But my guess is Carlson will start there. But he's definitely going to be a fit on that power play for the Bolts, and that's going to help a lot. So love that signing for the Lightning. Getting John Carlson, and again, at $8.5 million, not too shabby at all. 2 years, so you're not worried about that $8.5 really coming back to hurt you 3-4 years down the road when he's a lot older at that point. So that's a very good signing for the Bolts. The one that confused me a little bit, also coming from the Ducks. By the way, I'm going to do this. We'll do these free agent signings. We'll talk about the trade, and then we'll also talk about a couple like Darren Radish and what he signed for with the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll get to that momentarily, but Jeffrey Veal, who the Lightning signed, again, from the Anaheim Ducks, at 5 years at $2.5 million per. That one surprised me a little bit. Listen, John Carlson talked about Jeffrey Veal because he played with him. And he, you know, basically the report on him is Veal is a very grindy kind of forward. He's a tough fighting guy. He takes a lot of penalties. And, you know, I do think the Lightning need a little bit of that, especially losing a guy like Nick Paul, who they traded away. And you do want somebody that can fight and stand up for you. but I just don't love the contract. I think that's my biggest problem with this. You look at his stats, they're whatever. He's not an offensive guy. Last year with the Ducks in 35 games played, he played for a couple of teams last year, Boston and the Ducks. But in 35 games with the Ducks, he had 3 goals, 7 assists for 10 points and was a -2. You can take it or leave it, but the 5 years is what bothers me a little bit. And I believe those 5 years all have some sort of no movement clause or modified no movement clause. So I don't love that. I don't love that. Now, can he work out as a fourth line guy just as, there to be an enforcer type role and maybe score a couple of goals? Sure. But I'm a little concerned about that 5 year contract, especially considering he's 29 years old already. So we'll see how that one plays out. I don't know how much he's going to work into the lineup here too, because we have a lot of question marks when it comes to some of our young guys that we talked about in last week's episode. But maybe he's a guy that can protect, our Sam O'Reilly, who maybe comes up this year and plays a little bit and is one of our top prospects. And you put him on a line with him and you mess with Sam O'Reilly or mess with Nikita Kucherov or whoever. And Jeffrey Veale steps in and says, we're not doing any of that. So the Lightning have tried this before too, with a guy like Tanner Janot. That's who it kind of reminds me of. It feels like a Tanner Janot situation. And that obviously did not work out for the Bolts. Maybe this one will. Again, let me know in the comments what you guys think on this signing. I've got some questions on it, but I'm going to trust JBB here. He's done a very good job overall. So it's hard to question him sometimes. But the Lightning also picked up a forward from the Chicago Blackhawks. And last time they did that, things turned out very well. Of course, I'm talking about Brandon Hagel. But this time, the Lightning again, I'm going to learn his name. I don't know the pronunciation yet, but it's Ila Mikheyev. He signed a 4-year, $3.85 million contract per year. I don't hate that contract at all. I think this was a pretty solid signing for the Lightning when you look at what he has been able to do with Chicago, who is, not a very good team. The Blackhawks are getting better. They got a lot of young stars. They just extended Connor Bedard over there as well. But, Chicago. They haven't been great. And last year with the Blackhawks in 77 games played, he had 18 goals for 18 assists and 36 points and was a +2. That's great. I absolutely love that. A guy who's had some decent years. He's put up 30 points pretty consistently, no matter where he's played. He's also played with Toronto and Vancouver. He's 31 years old, so he's an older guy, but, 3.85 is not a lot, especially in this new cap era. And he's a guy that can put up points, and he can play that, middle six type of role. So this is a signing I really do like. Was happy with this one and excited to see what he can do here with Tampa. Now, here's my issue with the Lightning as it sits. Because the Lightning traded Nick Paul, and there's still more to be done here, and we'll get to a little bit of why there's still more to be done here momentarily, but the Lightning traded for Nick Paul to Toronto. Don't love trading to a division rival, but you did. Nick Paul, and they get back Dennis Hildenbrand, who is going to be the new backup goaltender. The Lightning are currently working on a trade for our current backup and Jonas Johansson. So we're curious to see where he goes and what the Lightning can get for him. I don't imagine that they're going to be able to get a ton for him, but, we'll see. But you pick up a new backup goaltender, and looking at his stats, I know Toronto fans were a little bit disappointed that he was given up. So, they liked him. And there's potential there. But again, when it comes to goaltenders, I don't blink twice much at this just because, you have Andrei Vasilevskiy. And he's going to play majority of the time. And yeah, you want your backup to win a couple of games to keep you alive. But hey, you do need a backup goaltender at some point. Here's his stats for Hildenbrand for last year with Toronto. 20 games played, He started 14 of them. He was 5-7, had a 2.86 goals against average and 914 save percentage. Nothing crazy, nothing great. Daniel said, Johansson probably gets you future considerations. More than likely, I don't think you'll get much for him, but hey, you never know. JBB can be a wizard sometimes. So, it's a move. I think the Lightning did this to have some cap flexibility here to maybe do something else. I know they love to have their cap flexibility. JB likes to have a little bit of money going into the season. We'll get to what I wanted them to spend it on in just a minute, but this is a backup swap, really, is what it is at the end of the day. The problem with moving Nick Paul, and it's because they didn't address this, the faceoffs. Nick Paul is by far our best faceoff guy, and we do not have anybody else that's replaced him yet. And I'm a little concerned about the faceoffs for the Lightning this year. It was really bad last year, and I don't know if it's going to get any better this year, at least on paper. Maybe the team as a whole gets better. They practice it a lot, but faceoffs could be a major issue. Now, the Lightning still made the playoffs. They still won a lot of games. I remember we talked about for a while there was a point. I don't know if they ever finished this way, but like every game the Lightning were under 40% on faceoffs, they won. So maybe you don't need a faceoff guy, but I am a little concerned about that. And trading Nick Paul does make us lose our top faceoff person. Let's get to a comment here from Beverly quick. Beverly, thanks for joining back in. We appreciate it. She said, hey, Jake, what are we talking about? We are talking about free agency. We talked about the schedule a little bit before, but if you've got any questions or things you want to throw in there, feel free. We can jump back there at some point too, but free agency and the schedule are the two big topics for today's show. Let's get to Daniel's comment here too, quick. I saw his pop up. Feel like the right-handed top two line player is still missing on this lineup. Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. Cause you got the Mikhailov, I need to learn his name, from Chicago, but he kind of is like a Nick Paul replacement. He's not really a Nick Paul type, but I agree with you, Daniel, on that one. I do think there's still another forward that the Lightning need, and there's a guy that I really wanted, and we're going to get to that in a second here, but those are all the moves the Lightning made. Now, of course, they did lose Darren Radish to Toronto. And, I know there were some fans out there saying maybe they should have signed Radish, considering things went. I'm not mad at JBB for giving up him to Toronto and getting what he got. He got just a little bit back since it was only rights, but he signs a 8-year, $8.5 million deal, which is what they basically signed Carlson for. But you don't want to give an 8-year contract to Darren Radish. You just don't know if he's going to be able to keep up that consistency. And 8.5 is a lot of money for a young defender that had a very good year. And well-deserved for Darren Radish, no doubt about it. I'm not upset that they didn't give Radish that money. I know they made him an offer. I can't remember what it was. I know it was a lot lower than 8.5. He obviously wants his money. He deserves that. Go get your bag. So, that doesn't bother me that they ended up moving on from Darren Radish. I think John Carlson's a great replacement and maybe even a little bit better. He's more of a proven veteran than Radish is, obviously. So we'll see how that ends up working out for both these teams. Maybe Toronto is on the right here, and they've got themselves a stud in Darren Radish for – by the way, Radish is 30, and they gave him an 8-year contract, so that contract is going to last a long time. That's another reason I don't hate that the Lightning didn't give him that contract. So, not the end of the world there. The player that I wanted them to sign, and Daniel, this kind of, I'll be curious to see what you have to think about this, but I was really hoping the Lightning were going to go get Claude Giroux. I think he would have been a perfect fit for this team. I know he ended up going back to Philly. Let me see if I can pull up quickly what he signed for. But he's a great faceoff guy. I think we talked about this on last week's show. He's really good in the faceoff circle, and he can still score. He can score. He's put up a lot of points over his last couple of years. So he's a guy that could have fit in that top, that second line maybe, and he would win faceoffs. He signed a 1-year, $2 million contract Oh no, that's with the Ottawa Senators. See, this is why, folks, you don't trust Google AI. That's right. He did go back. Okay, it was correct. Yeah, he signed a $2 million contract, and the Lightning have $3 million in cap space. That was a guy I really thought the Lightning should go after. I don't think there was any rumors that they were considering him, but he was a big one on my list because he gets faceoffs. He had 49 points last year, and he would have been a perfect fit, I think, for this team. So, is he a righty or a lefty? I actually don't know. Let's see if I can pull it up real quick here. I don't see on his page. I can't find it on Puckpedia, which I'm on right now. But I think he would have been a great fit. Let me know, guys, what you think there on Claude Giroux. But that was one I was hoping for. He ends up going back to Ottawa for another year. He's a righty. Okay, so he's a righty. I was hoping for Giroux. We did not get him, though. And I'm curious to see what the Lightning do here because they've got $3.2 million in cap space. And you could take that into next year. And you're thinking ahead, and there's a strong possibility. JBB is sitting here right now saying, I like the team that I have. I added John Carlson. I added Veal. I added the guy from Chicago. I think our team is better now. He did do a press conference, I believe. Did he do a press conference? Actually, I don't think he did. But I think there's still something missing on this team. And you got the money. And I know you've got a lot of free agents next year, but all the more reason to say, hey, this might be the time to go. This might be the time to really make this push for this team and win a cup this year before things maybe get a little dicey next year. The cap is jumping up. There's going to be a lot of things going on. So let's see a couple of comments here. Beverly said, maybe they're hoping O'Reilly fills in for faceoffs. He had 58% last season, I think. Yeah, no. O'Reilly can absolutely be a guy that helps with that spot. He can also be a guy, if he's as good as we hope he's going to be, a guy who won a ton of awards last year as a top prospect, he's a guy that could fill in eventually in that second line spot that we were just talking about. And that could be really good, but that's a hope. We don't know how he's going to be. We got to see what happens here in preseason. He may not even play this year. I don't know. Geeky's another guy, maybe he slots in a little bit here a little more if they don't sign anybody else. Let's see what Daniel said. Nuru improves the faceoff for sure. Still a lot of older goal scorers. Yes, that is true. Sitting out there in free agency, Kane, Tarasenko, Patrick Laine. Patrick Laine, that's an interesting one. I did hear the Bolts connected to him in some rumors. So maybe they look for him potentially at some point. I wouldn't mind any of those guys. I really wouldn't, because I do, again, agree with you, that they need somebody in that spot. And they've got $3 million. And for one of those older guys, come down to Tampa, kind of like a, sunshine state, no state taxes, as we always used to say, right? Boat sunshine, boat parades, and Stanley Cups. What more could you want? Maybe one of those guys takes a really cheap deal and comes down and plays for the Bolts. So I wouldn't hate any of those guys. And I do see a world where they still go out and get somebody. How likely is it? I don't know. They got $3.2 million. I know JBB, he likes to take some of the extra cap space he has to call players up and down. And he was pretty confident in the team he had last year. And I was surprised he made as many moves as he did going into this year of free agency. So time will tell what they're going to do here. For the most part, though, on paper, if you ask me, do I think they improved? I don't know if they did. I think they're very similar to where they were. I like Carlson. I like Mikhailov. I like some of the potential rookies here. But I think they're a very similar team to last year. I think, as Daniel's pointed out, they need that second line right-handed shot, older goal scorer, which they can still go get. I think they need a face-off guy. Maybe, as Beverly pointed out, that's going to be O'Reilly. And they'll be okay. But I would like to make – you got $3 million, use it. I don't think going into the season with extra cap space really does anything for you. So if you've got it and somebody's out there, go for it. Let's see. Daniel also said something here. I think they're hoping the young guns step up, and it's more likely we see season or trade or two. Watch Dundee 1 come back at the deadline. Oh, Daniel, now you're talking my speed. I know you always gave me a hard time for always talking about Stamkos all the time. But, yeah, I mean, that's It's actually a really good point. So some of the young guys step up, Geeky, O'Reilly. Those are the two big names that, because Dominic James, I heard people talk about him. He's a mainstay for me in the lineup at this point. But if those guys can step up and then you bring Stamkos back at the deadline for cheap, I would be all over that. That would make this this Lightning fan very happy. Looking at the lines, by the way, right now, this is what they have listed on Puckpedia. Gensel, Point, and Kucherov. Great top line. No problems there. Hagel, Cirelli, Gonsalves. Again, there's that right-handed second-line spot Daniel was pointing out earlier, right? Like, don't get me wrong, Gage Gonsalves has been great for us. And he's on a great contract, but would maybe like somebody else there. Then you got Gergensen's Gord and Mikhailov. Then Holmberg, James, and Veal. Yeah, you know, I think Holmberg, he's not bad. He did good for us last year. I wasn't too upset with what he did, but, you know, maybe you bump Gonsalves down and replace him with basically Holmberg and, you know, or Gergensen's, depending on which way you want to go. You know, honestly, guys, looking at this right now, I think what Daniel said is I think they're going to bank on these young guys. I think they're going to see what Geeky can do with a more sustained run here in the lineup. And you see what O'Reilly can do, and you run with that. And you hope one of those guys could be that top two winger. But and maybe going back to Daniel's comment here, if the young guns do what they need to do, right? So you think they run into the season with this current team that they have, which isn't bad by any means. But Gonsalves steps up in another bigger way. James continues to do what he's been doing this year. And then you have, you know, O'Reilly or Geeky kind of fill in for Holmberg a couple of times. And maybe they take that role away from him, or even Gergensen's, depending on, you know, who ends up playing better this season, or even Veal. I don't know. I think Veal might be a mainstay, though, in this roster. And then you trade for Stamkos. And you use Geeky. I probably wouldn't trade O'Reilly, but, you know, as a piece to get him back. I don't know what Stamkos would cost in any sense of the matter. So, you know, it's not bad. And then looking at the defense, you got Hedman, Mosier, McDonough, Cernak, Destu, and Carlson, and then Vasilevskiy and Johansson will be traded, is what JBB said. Daniel, I think that they're done offseason besides me and JoJo have to trade someone out, brother being in another body of 4D. Yeah, more than likely. I want to see them make another move, but I think you are right. Like, I think as fans, we'd like to see them go get a, you know, as you said on some of the names, Kane, Tarasenko, or Patrick Laine. I don't think they will. I think they're going to run with this lineup. I think they're going to bank on Geeky and O'Reilly this year to potentially fill some of the bigger spots when you look at Holmberg, Gergensen's. And again, I don't have a problem with Holmberg or Gergensen's. I want to make that clear. But, you know, I think in O'Reilly or Geeky could be better than them. They got higher ceilings than those guys. Like, those guys are good to have to grind it out, especially games like against the Florida Panthers, and they're going to deal with injuries at some point. So, and also, by the way, you have Scott Sabrin, Lilleberg, both in the press box. Sabrin, I'm not sold on him. I don't mind him seeing him not in the lineup. So unless they trade somebody else, you know, maybe that's a deadline thing. So I think this team can compete just like they did last year. I think they need an extra piece still to push them over the edge. We've kind of covered here. Maybe that's what they do at the deadline, and they just let the young guys roll here and see what they can do before you make that decision and say, because, you know, that's what you can do. You roll with Geeky and O'Reilly, mix it in there at some point. Maybe O'Reilly sits another year down in the AHL, but you let Geeky go and then either say, okay, he can step up, he can be that second line right winger that we wanted, or we'll trade him and use him for something else. And maybe get Stamkos back or somebody, whoever ends up becoming available. I don't know how things are going to play out. But Beverly said, oh, yeah, we don't know what Rantanen is going to be about the training camp. Yeah, he's another guy that we don't know. And we're going to have to wait and see how these guys play out in those training camps and preseason. And again, preseason is going to be interesting, right? Because you have less games in the preseason to see what these guys are going to be capable of. So you really do have to make a good impression early and quickly. So that's something to keep your eye on for sure. But let me know this. Let me know in the comments below. What do you guys do? Are you guys, if you had a grade, let's do a grade. If you had to grade the Lightning's offseason mode and the roster going into the season right now as it is, not including the young guys, I know there's potential there. How do you feel? Are you giving them an A, B, C, D? I would probably put them at a B. Still think that they're going to be a competitive team. They're going to make the playoffs once again, but I think they're missing that piece. And, you know, maybe it is that O'Reilly, but we just don't know. We don't know until we see them in action here. Maybe Gigi finally steps up, but I'm going to go with B. Let me know down in the comments below where you guys would go with these grades. But last thing we need to talk about is Nikita Kucherov, of course, because he is a big subject right now. He, you know, JBB is, it's a point of focus for him to get that done. Actually, I shouldn't say that because I don't know. I would think it's a point of focus for him. I know it's been mentioned a couple of times. I know it was reported that they were looking at Kucherov in like the 10 to 11, maybe $12 million range. I would be ecstatic if they can get Kucherov at that number. That's a big question. What is Kucherov going to go for in a contract extension? Because you look at what happened with Leo Carlson, and he got $18 million. Now, I think part of that is the Flyers being the Flyers and, you know, throwing as much money as they possibly could to try and get him from the Anaheim Ducks and steal him away with compensation and restricted free agency. But if he can get $18 million, at this point, I think if Bedard got $15 million, so Kuch deserves probably 19, 20. I think the max contract right now is $22 million, is the most you can hand out. He could probably get close to that on the open market. He's a top player in the NHL. And by the way, how great does that contract at 9.5 look now? And he could get up there, but what is the hometown discount he could take? If, I mean, Bedard got 15. I would say probably 16 million is where he probably deserves to be. Now, he's probably not going to get that jump. He's at 9.5 now. Can you get him at 12? I don't know what those it depends on Kucherov. It depends on if Kucherov wants to stay. He wants to continue to win cups. As far as I know, what I've seen, he loves Tampa. There's no reason to want to leave unless he really wants that much more money. He could get it on the open market. There's no question. I really hope the Lightning do not treat this as a Stamkos situation. I don't think they will. I think JBB is going to get this contract done sooner rather than later. Don't let this get close. Sign him as soon as possible. Get this contract done before the market continues to do what it's done. Very curious to see what that number is going to be at. Let me know again. It's another question for you guys. Where do you think that number comes in for Nikita Kucherov? If I have to guess right now, if he re-signs with Tampa, which there's no reason to believe that he wouldn't. There's no reason for the Lightning to give up on him. I'm going to go 13. I'm going to go 13 million. The term, I really don't know. Sign him as long as you want. I really don't care. But 13 would be a great number. I wouldn't be upset at 15 or 16. That's how good he is. Again, he could probably get closer to 18 million on the open market. Leo Carlson just got it. And now Kucherov is a little bit older. I mean, there's some arguments there, but I think he could easily get up northwards of 18 million on the open market. Let's see, Beverly here. She said she's going to give him a B. Trey Geeky and Gergensen's go with young guys. Kuch will take 13 at 7. I would love that's a great deal. That's a great deal for Tampa. 13 million times 7 years. Great deal. That would be a great deal. And I do think Kucherov wants to stay. I do think he'll take a pretty nice contract for the Bolts. Him already at 9.5 is the steal of a century. So shout out JBB for signing that contract and how good it looks right now. So that's going to be a question. And the Lightning got the cap space. They're going to have a projected cap hit. And this is projected of a projected cap space of $30 million. So you got the money. You got a lot of guys to re-sign. Next year, they're going to have – let's take a look here quickly. Kucherov, Holmberg, Gonsalves, Gergensens, James, Geeky, just doing the Levert. You've got the money to give him what he wants. If you can, the lower you can get him, though, and the more money you can spend on other players to help your team out would be huge. And anywhere in that 12 on the absolute lowest end would be – anything under 12 is an absolute steal. 13 to, we'll say, 16, I think, is an ideal range. Anything over that, he's probably worth it, but it is a lot, and you're thinking, oh, boy. I think how expensive could things get in free agency? We'll see how things play out. We don't know how these things are going to play out yet, but get that deal done. Get that deal run right away and get Kuch signed. But all right, guys, I think that's going to do it for us in this episode. I hope you enjoyed this solo episode with the one and only Jake Ricker here. I'm glad you guys joined me. Thanks for tuning in as always. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Follow us on social media at RBR Lightning, at RBLR Sports. We'll be back. We'll get all of the gang back together. We'll get more people on here. And we'll be talking more Lightning hockey. We're getting closer to the season. The schedule is out. Free agency is over. The draft is over. There's some exciting things coming up this year for the Bolts, especially in those young guys. That's going to be our big point of coverage when preseason rolls around. So get excited. I'm looking forward to it. I know all you guys are. But thanks again for tuning in as always. Again, like and subscribe. Follow us on social media. And with that said, we'll see you guys in the next one. Go Bolts.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.